you pray for us that night by night as we come to preach God's word, that we might know the Lord's message for each evening. Just after I was saved, way back in 1965, I was saved through the ministry of Dr. Paisley at Old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. And the late Pastor Willie Mullen, he came and he preached a series of messages on the blessings of the tribes. And I liked Dr. Paisley preaching, I liked Willie Mullen preaching, and I started to attend Willie Mullen's Tuesday night Bible class on Lurgan Baptist Church. And I remember one night Pastor Mullen was preaching and he said this. He said, you know, you can preach God's truth and you can have a message and it's theologically correct and you can have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. But he says it may not be God's message for that meeting. It's God's truth, all right. But if we're preaching from the Bible and we're rightly dividing the word of truth, then it's God's truth. But we want not only God's truth, but God's message for every evening. The Lord knows who will come in. The Lord knows the state of all our hearts. And we pray that the Lord will give us the right message for the meeting night by night. So we're reading just a few verses from Psalm 34. It's a well-known psalm, beautiful psalm. And the psalmist David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 8. May God bless his word to all our hearts. Now I'd like to speak tonight at this opening meeting of the gospel mission on what I call sure conversion, or the sure signs of God's salvation. Now, there are many, many, many conversions recorded in the Holy Scriptures. In Acts chapter 9, the story of Saul of Tarsus and how he was saved on his way to Damascus. Pastor Willie Mullen, to quote Willie Mullen again, Pastor Mullen preached a sermon on Saul's conversion and he called it sudden conversion. Here's a man, the Bible says, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against God's people. He's going down to round up the Christians in Damascus, to bring them back bound to Jerusalem, to imprisonment, to torture, maybe even death itself. But the Lord intervened, and suddenly a light shone from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. And Saul of Tarsus, that persecutor, that blasphemer, was gloriously saved suddenly by the mighty power of God. But way back in the Old Testament scriptures, the Bible tells us the story of the little child Samuel. And how Samuel was born in answer to prayer. His mother Hannah prayed for him. And she said, if the Lord will give me a man child, I will lend him, give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. You remember how the time came when she took the little child up and left him with Eli. Then one night, the Lord spoke to Samuel. And he called him Samuel, Samuel. Samuel thought it was Eli. And he ran and he woke up the old priest Eli and he said, what do you want? You've You were calling me. Eli said, I didn't call you. And back, and the voice called him again. He came again to Eli, and Eli told him, if you hear the voice again, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's, of course, what happened. The Lord came, as it were, secretly. In the midnight hours, the God of glory came and called a little child, saved him, called him to be a judge and a prophet to the people. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And you know, in Isaiah's time of sorrow, the death of the king, death of his friend, Isaiah sought the Lord. And one of her many people all down through the years, in the time of sorrow, in the time of trouble, in the time of hardship, have realized that earthly friends can bring a word of comfort. Earthly friends can give a wee word of encouragement along the way. But my, as the old hymn says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And thank God that even sometimes in the midst of sorrow, men and women have found Christ. In Luke 23, a man we call the dying thief, and he called upon Christ at the very end of his life. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, humanly speaking, we would look out and say, that man was scarcely saved. Oh, he was really saved, all right. Genuinely saved. Went to heaven that very day. But my, we would say it was just in the nick of time. The 11th hour, the 59th minute, as the sands of time were running out for him, he called upon God for mercy and for salvation. I love the story in Acts 16 of that dear woman, Lydia. And somebody said, I think it was one of the old Bible commentators, he says, Lydia, as it were, opened her ears to hear the word, and God opened her heart. And why she was saved, soundly saved, through the preaching of the Word of God. Now, no matter where, or when, or how, salvation is a wonderful experience. And you find that in this 34th Psalm, the psalmist David speaks about a time in his life when he changed his behavior, when he acted as if he was mad before the king of the enemies of Israel. And the king sent him away and said, have I need of a madman? And David was trembling. David was in fear. And as David pretended to be mad before King Abimelech, King Achish, he was praying all the while that the Lord would save him and deliver him from all his fears. And deliver him from all his troubles. And deliver him from that terrible situation in which he found himself because of his own folly, his own weakness. But as David relates that experience, we can see some of the marks of conversion and of salvation for men and women. You know, it's interesting that in Psalm 34, David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, where we read about the time when David had fled from King Saul, he was afraid of Saul. It says there in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? And did they not sing one to another of him and dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, see ye, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Verse 1 of 22. David therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Here's David, the giant killer. Here's David, the one who slew the lion and the one who slew the bear. But he is in fear for his very life. And my, when he escaped for his life and he came back to the cave Adullam, that old cave became like a cathedral, and David and his friends, they sang a song to celebrate the deliverance and the salvation that God had wrought in David's life. The Lord delivered him from his troubles. You know, as people tonight, as this gospel campaign commences, all over this little province of ours, throughout the United Kingdom, across Europe, right across the whole world, men and women have many, many fears. They're worried about the future. They're worried about financial security. They're worried about personal failure. They're worried about failing health and strength. They're worried about friends. They have many, many fears, just like David had. But thank God, the gospel, Christ is the answer to our every need. Christ has the answer, and we will find the answer. The Bible says in the book of Job chapter 14, man that is born of a woman is of few days, and he is full of trouble. The scripture also says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But as we read this psalm, you'll notice that even the righteous, even Christians, they're not immune to troubles, because the Bible says in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. The old hymn says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. And so David, when he had escaped from Achish, called here the title of the psalm Abimelech, but that was like a title that was used like a Pharaoh or a Caesar. And David was so glad that the Lord in his providence had preserved him, brought him back to the cave of Adullam, and the friends gathered onto him there, and they realized, of course, he is to be their king. But David resolved in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times, in the good times, in the bad times, in the times that are easy, in the times that are. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Here's an effective antidote to the poison of doubt that Satan would bring against the people of God, to cause them to despair and to cause them to be depressed. My Paul said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I love that verse way over there in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 42, it speaks about old Jacob. And it says in Genesis 42 and verse 36, Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. As far as Jacob was concerned, he thought that Joseph was dead and gone. We know the story, of course. His brethren had sold him into slavery. He was in Egypt. But at that very moment, when the brothers had come home and they're explaining to their father what had happened in Egypt, he says, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and will ye take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And what he didn't realize, as he thought that all these things in life were against him, at that very moment, Joseph was well, he was alive, he was exalted, he was second only to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, and God was working all things together for good, and very soon he would see the carts and the good things that were brought back from Egypt. Very soon he would be reunited with his son, with Benjamin, with Simeon, and with Joseph. Sometimes in the midst of all our troubles, we forget that there's a God in heaven who is sovereign, who is absolutely in control of all things. And he works all things together for good to them that love God. But I want you to notice very simply about the marks of salvation or conversion. What do you notice? First of all, you have a seeking sinner. The man or woman wants to know whether or not they're saved. Well, we ask them, are you a seeking sinner? Have you sought the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at that psalm in verse 4. I sought the Lord. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. He says, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. He says in verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord hear. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. See, sometimes when we talk to people about getting saved, they come up with an answer, an old answer, an old argument. They say, you know, preacher, there's far too many hypocrites in the church. Sad to say, we have to agree with them. There are far too many hypocrites in the church. But there are hypocrites in the lodge. There are hypocrites in politics. There are hypocrites in the factory. There are hypocrites on the farm. There are hypocrites in the school. There are hypocrites in the hospital. They're everywhere. So that should not stop a man or a woman coming and putting their trust in Christ. Sometimes people will seek God in the time of trouble, but then they forget. Old W.P. Nicholson used to say, the trouble in Ulster is this, that men and women pray, Our Father, which art in heaven on Sunday, and then he says they live like orphans the rest of the week. See, sometimes when people are up against it, they say, oh, if God would only raise me up. God would only get me out of this situation. God will only restore my health and strength. I would give my life to him. But Isaiah says in chapter 51 and verse 1, he says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. And then you remember Isaiah said in chapter 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Maybe somebody says, oh, preacher, I have sought the Lord, but I'm not saved. Well, let me remind you what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, or verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me. Ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. If a man or woman or boy or girl genuinely is seeking after God with all their heart, and as the scripture says there in Psalm 34 and verse 12, seek peace and pursue it and seek life. Verse 14. If there's a seeking sinner, thank God you'll find him if you seek him with your whole heart. Now you'll notice when there's a seeking sinner,
There's a sympathizing Savior. The Bible says in the book of Samuel that God Almighty devised a means, a plan, a scheme of salvation, whereby those who were banished and would be banished from His presence could be reconciled to Him. And that wonderful plan of salvation, it didn't start when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. No, it started away in eternity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit devised that wonderful plan of redemption. And thank God tonight, wherever there is a seeking sinner, there is a sympathizing Savior. That's what the psalmist David said in this psalm. He says in verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me. Verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. The Lord hears the cry. The Lord's ear is ever open unto our cry. And he says not only did the Lord hear me in verse 4, but He delivered me from all my fears. In verse 7, it says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. In verse 20, He keepeth all His bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. And so the Bible says here, there is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He hears your cry. He can deliver you. And He can keep you because He has redeemed you, redeemed the soul of His servants. And thank God the Lord is near, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You know, David tried to step out of the boat to walk upon the water to come to Christ. And as he kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus, he was walking on the water. And then he took his eyes off the Savior and he began to sink into the waves. And he prayed a prayer. He cried, just like the psalmist. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard. He said, Lord, save me. Very simple prayer. And the Lord lifted Peter by the hand. Philippian jailer cried out, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The dying thief said, Lord, remember me. And thank God, Jesus said, verily, I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Do you have a seeking sinner? Tell me, friend, have you sought the Lord? Have you come earnestly, wholeheartedly, abandoning your sin, repenting from your sin, turning from your sin, throwing yourself completely upon the mercy of a holy God and saying, Lord, I'm coming as a sinner to Jesus. Will you take me in? For you'll find Him if you seek Him with your whole heart. For He is a sympathizing Savior. The one who opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf. The one who went about, the Bible says, as the apostle preached in the book of the Acts and gave, as it were, the credentials of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and preaching the gospel of His kingdom. He is a sympathizing Savior. The Lord Jesus never refused a call. And friend, unlike the great physicians today, He never charged a fee. And thank God, unlike the physicians, He never lost a case. He's a sympathizing Savior. And if you seek Him, you'll find Him. And you'll have a satisfying salvation. Where the psalmist says here in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. The psalmist says, if you would just taste the provision that God has made for you, you'll be satisfied. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalm 32 there in verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed means happy. This world is searching for happiness. Searching for happiness in all the wrong places. In the drink, in the drugs, in immorality, in the pleasures of this world. It's longing for something to satisfy. But David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I remember working in a factory in Belfast. And there's always some discussions at factories, whether it be about religion or anything else. And there's one fellow, he was a great skeptic. And those of us who had, I was just saved a short while. And there were some other folk there who were saved longer. But he was always arguing, always fighting. He was great socialist, great atheist, all the rest of it. Didn't believe the Bible, didn't believe in God. And one day we're standing talking at our break time. And one fellow who was a Christian, he was peeling an orange. And he made a great deliberate show of peeling this orange. And then he began to eat the orange. And then he turns around and says to this fellow, was that orange bitter or sweet? He says, how would I know? Sure, he says, I didn't taste it. He says, that's the same as the gospel. How would you know? For you have never tasted and you have never seen that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord is good. Thank God we can trust in him. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. We can testify to the Lord's saving and keeping power. The Lord, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. He keeps them. He puts his hand upon us when we are saved. Sometimes people say, well, I would love to be saved, but I don't think I could keep it. And you're right, you couldn't keep it. But thank God, the Lord can keep you. And the same Lord who saves your immortal soul, he can keep you till the river rolls its waters at your feet. And then he'll bury you safely over where the loved ones you shall meet. You know, in this psalm, and we haven't time to look at it tonight, but you'll find that there's a seeking sinner, there's a sympathizing Savior, there's a satisfying salvation, and there's a sanctified saint. The first part of this psalm is a song of deliverance by David. The second is a sermon. And you'll find that the second part of the psalm, especially verses 10 through to verse 13 there, they are repeated by the Apostle Peter in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 3. And those words are repeated. You see, David, when he went down into enemy territory, he shouldn't have gone down there. He was afraid of Saul. And when men and women are afraid, they do terrible things. They do stupid things. They do foolish things. David went away. He fled from Saul. And he pretended to be a madman. We read it tonight. He scrabbled at the doors and he let his spittle run down upon his beard. And he just acted the fool. He realizes he was foolish in his speech. In verse 13 of Psalm 34, he says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. He learned his lesson. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. As a Christian, as a sinner who has sought the Savior and found salvation to be a satisfying salvation, may we then watch our speech, we watch our words, we watch our steps. In verse 14, David said in the psalm, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. In verse Peter, he then testifies, we have to watch our steps. In verse, he says, let them seek peace and pursue it. He's going to watch his words, his speech. He's going to watch his steps. He's going to walk the separated pathway. He's going to watch his service. The Bible says here, we are to do good. to seek peace and ensue it. The face of the Lord, David says, against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But he was departing from evil to do good. Friend, we do not do good works in order to be saved. The old verse says, I will not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. We're not saved by our good works, but when we have faith in Christ, and when we come as a seeking sinner, and we find him to be the sympathizing Savior, and we are satisfied in his salvation, then, thank God, from that life redeemed by precious blood, from that life where we are born again of the Holy Spirit. And the old preachers used to say years ago, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man and woman, and it can only be filled by God, the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Can't be filled with houses and lands or fame or prosperity or popularity or wealth or money or gold or anything else. Can't be filled with the pleasures of this world. They'll never satisfy. They're broken cisterns. But thank God, when we're saved by the Spirit of God, we're indwelt by him, and we'll live for him, and we seek peace. We depart from evil. The old things are passed away, and all things are become new. If any man or woman or boy or girl be in Christ, the old things are passed away. We used to sing a chorus years ago in the old Cool Men's Mission. It was a chorus about the prodigal son. And it said these words, glory to God, he's come home. Glory to God, he's come home. From drinking the wine, feeding the swine. Glory to God, he's come home. That's a change. Come back from the far country to a loving father who put the ring on his finger, the shoes on his feet, and the robe about his shoulders. Friend, will you come tonight to a loving heavenly Father? Confess your sin and seek the Lord while he may be found. As your minister has said, this is a time of opportunity. Time when the gospel is preached not just on the Sunday, but Monday through Friday. For 2 weeks, a special season of grace. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Friend, Jesus is passing this way. Every time Christ is offered in the gospel, Jesus is passing this way. Bartimaeus cried out that the Lord Jesus would heal him, save him. And that was the last time that Jesus ever passed through Jericho. Friend, it could be the last time that the call of the gospel ever comes to your heart. That's why you need to seek him. And seek him now. And seek him with all your heart. May the Lord bless these thoughts from his word to our hearts tonight. And ask the Reverend Salter to bring our meeting to a close.